hanging onto it.
Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary. Be pure and holy. Be tried and true. With thanksgiving, you believe it? I'll be your living. Amen. Sanctuary for you.
Amen and amen. Amen. Is that your desire? To be a sanctuary for the Lord. If you like turning your scriptures, turn to John 6. John 6. Good to see everybody. We've had a good time over the weekend with Brother Cross here with us and fellowship together. Really enjoyed the services. Had a good time with Brother Bartley and being there. And we'll just pray one for another. Now, remember, the Lord willing, the fellowship meeting will be at Brother Pageant's this coming Saturday. What time we leave? 10:30? Somewhere around that. We always get there a little early, but we go down and, you know, walk around in some of the stores or something. But you never know about the traffic, so we try to leave early enough to get everything to go. And so we'll be leaving from Wade's house at 10:30. If you want to ride with us, just make sure you're there and let us know. And don't come at 10:35 or 10:40. Let us know if you're not going to be able to be there or something, if you tell us you're coming. So, you know, because we worry and we try to figure out, well, somebody's on the road or whatever they're doing. But just let us know and everything. Be glad for you to go with us. And remember that. Also remember, the Lord willing, now next Thursday, I'll be leaving for Jamaica for the weekend. Wade will be taking the services, and I'll be gone through the weekend, and we'll be back in on Tuesday. They have their Memorial Day, or what that is, I think it's Memorial Day. They have their Memorial Day on Friday. It's kind of a holiday to them on Friday, whereas we have ours on Monday. And so we'll be there and having services with them Friday night in Northampton, and then we'll be with Brother Reed on the Sunday services. Remember Sister Brady, Peggy called and checked on her and they said she wasn't doing too good. So, you know, just keep holding her up and everything, said she wasn't able to talk and things and all, and the medication, you know, and the problem. So just remember that. And also, if you will, Terrence, to add on, I meant to write it tonight, my sister Merle, they have diagnosed her with cancer in a part of her jaw, and they're giving her treatments for it. So put her on the list with the ones, you know, for the cancer. Just put Merle on there, and that'll be, that's my sister. Amen. Father, we thank you, we love you, we cherish you, Lord, because we know that without you there is no hope whatsoever of any of us, of whatever we would do or whatever could take place in our lives would have to be dependent upon our Lord and Savior, because we have nothing we can do within ourselves. We can't save ourselves. We can't keep ourselves. We have to depend upon you. And Father, we ask you to just come tonight and speak to our hearts and just give us an understanding of what is on the hearts of the people, and that we may, Lord, be able to speak what you would have us to say. Forgive our sins, because we know we fail you. And Lord, we first know that. And we know we have to depend upon you. So have your way now and keep us in Jesus' name. As we read your words, you come and speak to us. Amen. Amen. John 6:44. This will be a kind of a add-in to help because of what we're on the stature of a perfect man. But this will bring in a point because I got some more questions about it. So, you know, we were on the new birth the last time I spoke, and we will just call this explaining the new birth. You know, explain the new birth or something like that, you know, is the thought. But it'd be number 3 on the stature of a perfect man. Amen? So let's just read our scripture. John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last days. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word.
Amen.
Now, the thought for tonight will be explaining the new birth. In other words, we believe in this day that it takes justification, you know, sanctification and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We're not back in any other age. We're not back in any time. We're in this age to where that it's required that we have the three stages. The prophet will use the word works, and he'll use stages or grace. Then one time he's talking about, well, it's not three stages, it's three phases, you know, and explaining himself as to, you know, because you don't want to have three different things. To me, the new birth is the new birth. It's one thing. But it takes three stages of it today that we must go through: justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost to have the new birth in this age. Whereas, like I said, in Luther's age, it may have been just justification. But that was in his age. That's not this age. You say, well, how could it be? But now, I want you to remember one thing. I tried to explain this a few weeks ago. The Bible has to be written. Now listen to me. The Bible has to be written to where that it can apply to every age of mankind.
Amen.
And that way you'll wonder why that things would be said this way, and then seemingly they're said this way, and it just goes backwards and forth, like that you'd think that there's contradictions maybe or something. And then you'll hear the prophet talking about that I can prove that you're saved, you know, and then baptized into the body. And then you'll hear him say that the new birth is the baptism into the body. But remember now, the prophet could not explain the scriptures contrary to God's original plan. Right? And his original plan, when he wrote the word, it would apply to each age. Do you understand what I mean? See, because if you didn't, see, you would wind up and you would just read something and say, well, that's us, and, you know. But it's got to speak to every age. So when you speak of justification, it must speak accordingly as to where that it could apply to Luther and his message of justification. You understand? And see, if you just say baptism, see, where would you put Luther and them at? See, you would have to say things contrary. But the Bible is written to where that it can say justification. Then it can say being justified. It can say sanctification. It can say being sanctified. It can say the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then it can say being born again, you know. That way it will be correct for each age. You know. I mean, do you understand that? Because that's one point I tried to get over a few weeks ago. It's got to apply to where that it can't be contrary one scripture to the other one. See? And it doesn't read in the Bible that in the days of Martin Luther it is justification. In the days of John Wesley it is sanctification. In the days of the Pentecostal Azusa Street it is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't say that in the Bible. See? But when the prophet explained it, you know, he explained it according to the Bible, that justification in the days of Martin Luther put him into the body of Christ. And even said he had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Alright? He could say he was full of the Holy Ghost. Alright? But see, then he would say, but in the days of John Wesley, now there was more. And then he'd say, now, to the justification that was in Luther's age, he said, won't put you in the body now.
Right.
Now, that's not contrary. That's according to, what would you call it, growth development or a requirement. And it's the fact that God can look at something, and when He looks at us, He sees us all the same. But yet He realizes what we're going through. Now, Luther taught that just shall live by faith, but he called it the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right. John Wesley, I've read his writing, where he definitely calls sanctification the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He just didn't say, well, Luther's right, now we need to be sanctified, that's all we need. He calls sanctification the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Right. Right.
And it was for that day.
Right.
Go to the, especially to the last part of the Church Age book, where it's the, what is the end of it called? Resume. Go to that and read it. And hear Brother Branham say. Now, he says, we're not talking about the individuals. He said, we're talking about the ages. He said, Luther had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he names a lot of people in there that had it. See? All right. But see, we look at something and we think that, you know, no, it's got to be this. No, it's got to be said that way. It's got to be said to where that the Bible has got to say to where it can apply to all. And Brother Branham then, in bringing the interpretation of the Bible, is that what he brought unto us? Not that he translated it, not that he done anything, but he was bringing us to what it said, where we had gotten away and tried to figure out what it was talking about. And he says, no, this is what it says, this is what it means. And he could say, Luther had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We said it was just the age of justification.
Right.
You know, your mind goes, but you got to pray.
Right.
Yeah. Pray for a revelation. Yeah. Because that's the main thing. Like Brother Rand says, he says, I was looking on it on You Must Be Born Again. He said, now this church over here said it teaches you do this. This one over here teaches you do that. This one over here teaches you do this or that. You know, some teach you must speak in tongues. He was talking about the organized religion, you know, of what they were doing. Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, etc. Right. Now, see, a lot of churches has got a certain creed that you've got to read that before they will okay you as having the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Others say you got to speak in tongues or you don't have it. Well, now when you come on down into the message of the hour, all right? Now in the message of the hour today, people say, well, all you got to do is believe Brother Brown was a prophet. Well, the devil believed he was a prophet. So that, see? And like I always say, and I know it hurts feelings, but people say, but the devil don't believe like me. I agree with you. He believes a whole lot greater than you do, because when he heard of one God, he trembled about it. You hear it all of your life and, well, it might be three, I don't know. But you see, in the message of the hour, if you went around the land asking the churches, what is the new birth? What is this or that? See, they're saying now that Brother Branham taught, like Brother, who was it brought it? Brother Cross, I guess. Or Brother, yeah, Brother Cross brought it. That they're saying now that you don't have to be justified, sanctified, and get the baptism of the Holy Ghost to be born again. So you're just born again. You just get the baptism. Well, see, you can have the baptism the prophet said every day of your life, die and go to hell. Well, but you see, it takes a revelation. Now, that was why that I started off reading the scripture, because, see, the person said, would you explain what happens at justification, what happens at sanctification, what happens at the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Now, we've been through this a lot, but just kind of bear with me, because I'll just kind of try to speak the best I can from things, but I gave you where the prophet on the future home, page 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19. As a matter of fact, that is almost all of that. I may have left out a paragraph or something that related to another thought and all like that. But I gave them to you because I wanted you to read what he had to say about it. All right? And people will say, Brother Branham taught this up to 63 and then he changed. And the first two quotes right in front of you there.
Amen.
And it's on the internet for people to do, First two, right there, page 14, 15. He said, I taught three processes from the beginning. Now, this is 65. Is that right? Future Home 65? 64. All right? So he must have not have changed when he said he taught it all along. Well, see, then we believe what he said. Now, I don't care what anybody else says. We should be beyond that. Well, Brother So-and-so said it was this way. Well, I don't care what Brother So-and-so says. If we're going to believe the prophet, we believe what he said. Right. And see, that's what gets me in trouble, because I don't believe what everybody else believes. That's just the way it goes. They say, yeah, but Brother Dale, you're just different. Well, I agree. But I'm just what I am. I don't throw off on nobody else. Anybody believe what they want to believe? You can believe what you want to. You can believe your big toes, God. That's amen. You can have it. Believe what you want to. But just don't ask me to kiss it. You know, because if you're God, it needs to be kissed, you know. Because the Bible said if you kiss the, what is it, kiss the Son unless he be angry. And that's that scripture. So we ought to be willing to do it. If I believed the Pope was God, I wouldn't care about kissing the ring. And if I believed your doctrine, I'd believe your doctrine. But I just don't do it. I believe what I believe. And everything then, that the way that I studied the message, I've always told you that. The way I studied the message. Marriage and divorce, seals, stature of perfect man, Daniel 70 weeks. I study it comparing that to my new birth. Because that's the only thing I can compare it with. Yeah, but I just compare it with the prophet. See? That's what gets you. I stand here and quote the prophet over and over, and people say, you don't believe him. Well, if I didn't believe him, I wouldn't tell you I did. You know. But now listen. See, they said, explain the new birth, in other words, what takes place at justification, what takes place at sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, I believe that it takes, in this day, an experience. Now, listen to the wording. An experience of justification, an experience of sanctification, an experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I believe that. All right. And you say, but Brother Dale, I just believe and got it all. Well, that's all right. That's what you believe. But I just don't see it that way. Right. Then you can say, well, this is the way I believe it. That's fine, but this is what I believe. And see, let's see if we can put it in the Bible, see if we can put it in the prophet's message, you know, of what the new birth is. We covered a whole message there a week or so ago there on the stature of a perfect man, calling it the new birth, and how the prophet said you're born again by faith. And he said the only way you can be saved is by revelation. But see, people miss the whole thing. They miss the Bible first. Now, according to what most people in this message, let alone the denominations, teach, you could bring a person off of the street and bring them right up and read them through. You know. And read to them what they must do or not do. And then turn around and say, well, you done it. You believe the prophet? Yes. Oh, that means you're born again. You said the creeds. And see, of course, we don't do that. No, we don't have no creeds. Oh, we don't have no creeds but Christ, no law but love, no book but the Bible. You know, we're quick to quote like that. But what do we believe? Now, the first doctrine, Brother Branham said, that Jesus preached was, you must be born again, to Nicodemus. Well, why didn't he tell Nicodemus all you got to do is believe? Why didn't he tell Nicodemus he had to quote a creed? Why didn't he give him some bylaws to keep, some forms to do? No. He just said, you must be born again. And see, then the new birth that Jesus was speaking of was so contrary to Nicodemus' trained mind, until he had everything preconceived about what it was to be a believer or a, you know. And Jesus was simply telling him, you must be born again. Right. He said, you mean I got to go back to my mother's womb and come out again? See? And Jesus said, now listen, if I tell you earthly things, you remember? And you don't understand. In other words, you are the teacher of Israel, is what he called him. You're the greatest. And you don't understand what I just said. How could I explain heavenly things to you? Because no man can understand the things of God except those that are born again. That's what he was simply trying to tell Nicodemus. But now here's Nicodemus. He goes back. He just has the thought of his mind. I don't understand him. They said, well, some of them may be in private, maybe with some of the close friends of Nicodemus, because surely he didn't go back and publish it to all of them where he'd been. But, you know, some of his close friends maybe asked him, said, well, what did he say? He said a strange thing. He said, you must be born again. See, we can go through a lengthy process of explaining water, blood, and spirit. You know, justification by the water baptism. Sanctification not by the blood, but by faith in the blood. And then the baptism of the life coming. But this is what I want you to think about, the reason I read the scripture I did. Now, listen to what I'm saying. Why was it that Nicodemus was not saved? Now, Nicodemus came to Jesus, right? He put his life on the line, right? Why wasn't he saved? All right, we can say that the life of Jesus Christ hadn't been shed yet. Amen, we believe that. But how come Nicodemus didn't go to the upper room? Now, the prophet said Nicodemus and Gamaliel would be given eternal life for their stand upon the gospel. All right? Now, that's what he said about them, so I believe that. If you want that, we'd be glad to find it. But now, listen. Why is it that a lot of people, they go to church a long time, they're associated with the message even, you know, and things like that, and then, but all at once you see them just fall away. You know. Could there be a problem? And maybe by this we'll understand why the prophet said, don't. Don't. Now, I was in a Baptist church. No, I always went to church. Especially after I got married, I had to go to my wife. And when we were dating, I had to go with her to, you know, get to date her on Sunday. But, you know, I've always kind of been in church at 18 years old. And see, we was at church and people were always trying to come and talk to me about, Sam, you need to be saved. And I told you about the deacons coming, you know, and the things to me one time and saying, Sam, you need to come to church and you need to be saved. I said, and I wasn't sarcastic. I wasn't hateful. I said, sir, I live a better life as a sinner than most of your deacon board does. Well, they couldn't argue with me because I could have called out the situations. See? They got in my way, in other words. Brother Brown one time said that, said, the church get in your way. Said, what was supposed to be the saving power thing turned out to be the thing that drove us away. All right. But yet, see, they come to me, and my sister, she come to me one night and was in church, and she said, Sam, said, my brother-in-law had just got killed in a car wreck. And she said, you know JC's in hell. Well, I didn't know he was. I mean, he was a good man. He had his problem. I ain't saying he's saved. I ain't saying he's in heaven. But he was better than a lot of people that was in the church. You know. Because he was a good man, especially to us, because we kind of looked up to him as a father, you know, and everything. He was a good feller. But she said, he's in hell, but said, you got an opportunity to come. Well, you know what that done to me? That drove me further away because I was thinking. Now, there she's saying he's in hell. You know. Well, and I don't know. And, but the prophet says, don't do that. Now, if you go to somebody in the church, you better know it. This church especially, because if you don't, I'll tell you about it. You better have thus saith the Lord when it's over with. Because you go to somebody in the church and try to get them to the altar, I'm going to quote Brother Branham to you. He said, don't do that. Now, you know what he said? He said, you make them a twofold child of hell than you do to begin with. He said, because it makes them harder to come to the Lord the next time. Now, that's what your prophet said. He was against, you know, pulling. Now, sure, altar calls. Sure. Fine. Altar calls. We believe in it. He believed in it. He gave altar calls. And he'd say, there's some more of you that needs to come down, and they'd come down. And he'd say, there's more of you that should have been down that didn't come. We know that. But he always said, don't try to scare anybody with it. You know. Now, he must be speaking according to the Bible, right? Now, you show me in the Bible where they ever done any of those things. You know. Where they ever tried to persuade somebody. Now, I'm laying down Nicodemus for the point. Because we know he never got born again. Because your prophet said he didn't. Okay. Now, what was wrong with Nicodemus? Why didn't he go to the upper room? He evidently didn't cherish the things enough, yet he pondered it, I'm sure, day by day in his mind. But yet he never fulfilled that in going forth and seeking the Lord more. I believe the problem with mankind is in the scripture I just read to you. I believe Nicodemus came because of what he'd seen, what he'd heard. Because he said, you're a teacher come from God. I believe he was a great, wonderful man. But I believe he came on his own. Yeah. And that's why I read the scripture there. No man can come unto me unless the Father draw him. That's why Brother Branham was against, and even he would talk about altar calls. But yet he explained, we give altar calls. He said, but altar calls like going to the people and pleading with them or doing something to try to get them to come to the altar. He said, you do wrong. How come it works out so much that a person would come to church maybe or some place or something or talk to someone? Because you don't have to be in church to be saved. And you don't have to be in church to hear the word. But how come it is that someone will just come to someone and start talking to them? And they'll maybe even say, you know, I just felt like talking to you. I want to talk to you about the Lord. Because no man can come unto Jesus Christ for salvation unless the Father draws him, because he will only hinder himself, let alone anyone else. And if you talk people into coming to the altar, but Brother Dale, we don't like you because you don't go out and plead with the kids to do this or plead with the kids to do that. You show me where it's ever done any good. I'm open for correction. You show me, I will repent and put a sign on my back and wait to take over the next day. Because I don't believe it. I believe the life you live before people is a whole lot greater a calling card than all of your begging and pleading, even with your own children. Because them children see you. And you're talking about them that they need to be saved, and they're looking at you and say, well, you need to be. That's what Brother McGarity, when his wife was talking to him about the Lord, he said, I don't want what you got. See, she didn't have anything to take to him. But see, people think you need to get people to the altar. You need to do this. You need to do that. All right. Amen. That's true. But do it according to the word. They wasn't called to come to an altar or come to a situation in the book of Acts when the 3,000 were saved. But you know what? That's why there was 3,000 that says that. See, because it was that, exactly that many. Right? Now, they wasn't 3,100. They wasn't 2,999. There was 3,000. You know what? That was the 3,000 that the Father called. How long did it take them to come from this country and that country and that country to travel to get to where they were going? And you know, the whole time it was God directing them? Well, how could he do that? Well, you explain how all the animals got to the ark. Now, well, no problem. You explain to me how the animals got to the ark when those animals come from way off other parts of the world. It may have took 100 years for them animals to migrate enough to where the final two would be there in that land. Something had to happen. Or God picked them up in Africa and brought them to over and set them down or whatever. I don't know. It ain't none of my business. I'm just making a point. You can't come to God unless God draws you. You become a religious fanatic. So you see, the basis of the new birth is what? God calling you. Now then you've got to go on to where that Judas was called. Now you've got to have more scripture put with it. So what do we have? Many called. What? Few chosen. Judas was called just like the rest of them. He went out, picked him, hand-picked him. Thought a whole lot more of him than he did the rest of the world. Because he didn't go out of them. He didn't go back and get Nicodemus. He didn't go get Camilla. Something about Judas he liked. He said, well, he had to be in the plan. That's all right, but he liked him too. He made him treasure. All right. But now listen. You can't come to God unless God draws you. That point right there is just like we've had two, or I know two, on the internet back from foreign countries that said, Brother Dale, I got a hold of a CD or a MP3 something player and a message you preached and said, the Lord saved me. Well, how long did it take to get that place to where that man done that? Or like the man in the bathroom that found a half of a spoken word book. You know, you remember the story? And it happened to be the back house that had the address in it. Well, he wrote to Jeffersonville. He was wanting to know about the rest of the book. He didn't know that there was hundreds and hundreds of books even at that time. You know, he just thought that was the only book. He wanted the rest of that book. See, how much would it be that we realize where God called us? How many of you want me to talk about your experience? Brother Dean, you mind it? I can't remember who invited him, but it was his sister or somebody or something. Wanted him to go to, daughter, okay. Wanted him to go to church. I ain't going. Have no reason to go. Have no plans to go. I'm going out on the town. He didn't think about God calling him. But see, after a while, he just found himself in there shaving and putting his clothes on, and he probably still thought, you know, he told his story that, you know, he thought going somewhere else, have a whoop a dog, you know, I mean, a big time. He wasn't going, he said. Doesn't say he wasn't going. But you know what? There in just a little bit, didn't know how to get to the church. But there in just a little bit, he was, went to church. Right? See? How many of your experiences would you like for me to talk about? You know, that I can remember some of the things in your life, maybe, that you've told me. But do you get the point? No man can come to God unless God draws him. You can't do it. Now you can come to the altar. You can repent. You can get baptized. You can come to sanctification and walk a good, clean life and do. but and not go on with the Lord. Think about your life. What brought you to God? Now, a lot of people tell, and I'm not throwing off on you now. I just talk plain, but when I talk plain, don't think I'm talking about you. If I am, and it's your problem, you got your problem. It's not me. I'm not nobody in mind. I'm just saying. The church got in my way of trying to bring me to God because I understood a lot of things. And I'm kind of like the group of little boys that went to the altar, you know, and when they got through, the preacher or somebody asked them, said, "What'd you do?" And everyone got up and said, "The Lord saved me." And got to one of them, said, "What'd you do?" He said, "I didn't get nothing." Well, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying probably he was the only honest one in the crowd. He was probably the only one that told the truth about it. Because that's the way I was. And I know that God was dealing with me. I told you about it when I was 11 years old, when I seen him standing in a church. See, most people would take that as their experience of salvation. I'm not telling that to brag about it. I'm telling it to brag about him. That's what he'd done. I wish people would get that straight. And let a preacher preach his heart out. You listen to Brother Random tell about the things he saw, but you won't listen to nobody else. And I don't blame you because of the way people of the message are. It's because there's so many people that do those things. But now listen. See, you can't come to him unless the Father draws you. But remember now, many are called. Many are drawn. Right? Many come along in many ways and do things. But he said, a few are chosen. Like I said, it wasn't 3,001. They come from everywhere. They get up and read the scripture where they came from. They wasn't all right around there. They came into there for some reason, paying their taxes or doing something. You know. Because it names the different ones in the book of Acts where they all came from. You know. Alright. But see, God must draw you to himself. That's why the prophet was against people trying to draw people into something. See? Let God bring them in. See? Brother Dale, didn't you ever sit down with your kids and talk to them about they need to be saved? No. They're all three here tonight. You say, "Well, I'll tell you what, now you just not, I'll agree with you. I'm a bad daddy. I agree with you. But you see, I done the only thing that I knew what could be done, and that's what I do by pastoring a church. You remember I was referring to it the other day when Brother Branham, his first sermon, you know, and he preached about that there wasn't no mother in hell, there wasn't no daddy in hell, there wasn't no God in hell, and people cried and all like that, and he went to Dr. Davis, and he said, you know, he was expecting a big pat on the back from Dr. Davis because of his first sermon, you know, and he said, "How'd it go?" He said, "Worst ever heard." So they cry at funerals, they cry at weddings, you know, not like that. He said, "But children are born by the Word." Now, there's never been a person in the world ever born again that didn't first hear the gospel in one way or the other. From mama, from daddy, from the preacher, from the neighbor, from, I mean, it don't have to be the pulpit. We're not talking like that. Or a book you pick up. Who put out the book? Who wrote the book? Faith truly comes, the Bible says, by hearing. And hearing by the word of the Lord. Alright? Now, see, I don't believe that the preacher's the only one that can pray a prayer of salvation. I believe every born-again believer can pray a prayer of salvation. I believe every born-again believer can pray a prayer of faith for healing. And I believe that when we don't do it and believe it that way, we are belittling the God that is dwelling within us. The prophet said, if you got enough faith for your own self, he said, apply it to your family and watch them come. But he said, if you don't have enough for them, he said, I doubt it for you. Something for paraphrasing that one. See, salvation, the Bible said, is of the Lord. I think that's Jonah 2:9, is it right? Something like that. Salvation is of the Lord. It is the goodness. Romans 2 and 4. The goodness of God is what leads you to repentance. It's not that you've decided to be saved. What did it take for God to deal with you to get you in the position to say, I decided to be saved? A lot of people put heartaches and troubles there. Deaths and sorrows, family and loved ones lost, etc. Well, I'm not against that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying God can use what He wants to. I don't tell jokes. I tell something to get an illustration, like the fella on the side of the road and the man up in the bushes, you know, and he said, hey, John, you called to preach. And boy, he's looking around, you know, and John, you called to preach. Well, old John started preaching. About 40 years later, somebody asked that fella about it, said, didn't you say you was up in the bushes calling him? He said, yeah, but said you've been preaching 40 years. How can I tell him now? You know, well, that was maybe the way God got to the man to get him to preach. I believe in all of that. All right. I believe God can use the foolishness of preaching to save the lost. Now, that's what the Bible says. Right. No. But listen, you must be called. If not, you can go through the stages of repentance. You can go through the stages of sanctification and come out clean and be a clean moral person. But it first must be God calling you. It may be like Moses when Brother Brown said, his mother set him on a knee when he was a little boy and said, you're not the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now I know the rest of the story where that she learned, finally taught him the truth of the whole thing when he was about somewhere around 16 or something, maybe or older. I know what the prophet has said. That's what I said. All those things have got to come together. You know. Moses probably in his mind all the way down through there remembered his mama saying, you're not the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But he still thought he was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, let's be blunt and plain. You know when he found out that he wasn't the son of Pharaoh's daughter? When God met him on the backside of the desert. Now you tell me I'm wrong, darn, let's see. When God met him at the burning bush, he found out that wasn't his mom and daddy over there. Because he still was thinking that was all right. See? But listen, God was calling Moses. You remember Brother Bartley, I really enjoyed that thought that he had. Not just one thought, but it was a wonderful, where he said, if God asks you a question, he said he's got a plan in mind. Right? So what was it in the garden? Adam, Adam, where art thou? I got a plan in mind. I'm going to save you. Noah, what are you going to do? I got a plan in mind. Moses, what's that in your hand? I got a plan in mind. Brothers and sisters, what are you doing here tonight? God's got a plan in mind. Right? We're right in God's plan. You say, well, you're sure taking a lot of time talking about this, a new birth. Well, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Most people don't know what the new birth is because they don't know the right approach. I just walked into church, went down the altar and said, God, forgive me. No, you heard somewhere. Someone talked to you. Something you read. Because it's impossible to be saved. As I've asked you, why didn't the Holy Ghost fall on everybody in the world on the day of Pentecost outside? Because there was only 3,000 that were called of the Father. The whole city was full of people, religious people. But only 3,000 was called. He said, well, they just went right there. Went, yes, they did. I believe in it. I believe you can come right to this altar and go through justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, get the new birth right here, and still got to go out and get baptized. But I'll tell you another way. You come up here and tell me you're justified, you're sanctified, you're filled with the Holy Ghost, and believe everything Brother Brown said, and won't go get baptized, I'll tell you you're a liar. That's the best way I can say it. I'll just tell you you're a liar. Why? because you won't do what God says. All right. But you see, the Bible is written to where that it can apply. It could apply to the day of Pentecost. See? They said, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? A question was asked. God had a plan. He had a plan. He said, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost fell on them. They didn't have to go out and get baptized first. The Holy Ghost fell on them. But you tell me one out of that 3,000 that didn't get baptized, I'll tell you there's something wrong somewhere. Why? Because you'll follow the Word. That's just the way I preach it. That's the way I preach about the women's dress and your hair and your clothes and things. What? Get salvation inside. You don't have to worry about the body outside. Get the Holy Ghost inside. You don't have to worry about the outside. It'll take care of itself. Just get them converted. What most people wants to do is just trying to wash up a little of the outside. Put a little whitewash. You know. That's what we used to do to the old chimneys, you know. They come around how you get through in the winter, the old chimneys so black and everything, they make me go down and find it was a place on our farm there, our home place, that had some old white mud on it, and we'd take that and we'd go up there and put that on there. We didn't have no paint, couldn't afford it. But it didn't do no good, it just covered over the old stuff that's behind. But listen, folks. You say, what takes place at justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost? All right. First off, the goodness of God. Paul said to the Romans, the goodness of God is what leadeth you to repentance. If you think back about me, because I never was, now I'm honest, I'm just saying and just talking plain. I really not teach you, don't do it. Don't teach your kid to be afraid of God. Don't do it. Teach them love of God that will destroy you if you do wrong. But it's the love of God you turn down that causes him to have to finally destroy you. Don't tell them little kids God don't like you. Santa Claus does. Better watch out, better not cry. We're good and sad, ain't we? But listen, teach them the love of God. That God loves you. I can't tell my kids God loves them because they're acting so mean. You want to meet in my office and we get through, we'll talk about that. Because I have too good of a memory. And I'm sorry. But I have too good of a memory about you. So you ain't going to come in my office and ask me where I've done wrong. You know better than that because I'm going to sit down and tell you about it. I ain't going to do it unless you ask me. Somebody the other day said, Brother Dale, I said, listen, I don't do anything unless people ask me. I'm not going to do it. I'm not getting in your matters. I'm not raising your kids. I just try to tell you the truth of raising the children in the gospel. But see, if you don't raise them, then that's your choice. I do give them back to you when I get through the dedication. For you to raise them. But listen. No one can come to the Father unless. That's why nobody could be saved until the death of Jesus Christ. Because he had to go back to God to be able to call the people. I was listening to a man last night, and I finished up a tape. Yeah, he didn't know it was listening to a certain brother. And he was talking about some things. And when he finished, I thought, oh God, can't he see he condemned his own self? Can't he see that he said it like this? He said, God came down, in other words, in the flesh of Jesus, so that he could know what it was to be a human. He could know what it was to be tempted. Done a great job. But I know his doctrine, and I don't agree with him. But I mean, a great job of talking about how that God came down in Jesus to understand. But just remember that if God come on Jesus on the River Jordan and left Jesus in the garden, then you got a problem. So you separate it and make him another person. But that was the point I was getting at was this. Do you know the baptism of the Holy Ghost in you right now? cannot be tempted. And I thought, God, thank you for what you just showed me. The Holy Ghost that's in you, Sister Gail, can't be tempted. You can, because you're a human, you're mortal, we're still in that realm. But the Holy Ghost that's in you can't be tempted. If the Holy Ghost only come on Jesus to River Jordan and left him in the garden, then God never tasted anything about how a mortal would live. See, he had to be born God. That's why that soul, Brother Brown said, was God in that little baby that was born. Amen for the truth. But listen, the new birth, sure, we believe it's justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But I hope you understand up to where I'm at. It's the goodness of God that leadeth you to repentance. It's the preaching of the Word. You see why it's so important? That's why I read those quotes to you there the other week, over and over, where Brother Brown said, false prophets produce false birth. False preachers produce false birth. He said, true preachers, true prophets produce true birth. See, it's only by, because the Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. And how can we hear unless somebody tells us? Amen. But I thought we were just going to get a story on what happened here. I'm trying to give you a story, a Bible story, of the plan of redemption. And what happens to you? The goodness of God leads us to repentance. He calls us. He calls you. And on calling you, He offered you salvation. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He called us. Then when He does, what happens? We can't justify ourselves. You see, why you get people to the altar and they run down and they scream and cry and pray because somebody has scared them somewhere. Instead of preaching the truth. He said, Brother Dale, you just preach so deep. I'd like for you to explain how come those people come to the altar on the seals. I'd like for you to explain to me how the people came on the altar on Daniel 70 weeks when 99.9% of them didn't understand what in the world he's talking about. Is that true? But yet they come to the altar for salvation. There's people with gifts that can get people to the altar. And show them that God is calling. Brother Moat had one. They kept saying redemption's over. Brother Moat said, give me 100 people in a group and I'll show you it ain't over. He had a gift. He could preach the gospel to bring children to the altar to seek God. But how did he do it? He let them know that God was dealing with them. That's the way he preached. God was a person dealing with them, getting them to come. It wasn't a persuasion factor. It was a gift. I don't have it that way. I've never said it I did. But I do have one gift. That's to preach the gospel. And if children can only be born by the gospel, then I just do the best I can trying to preach the gospel. It may be 1 week on Statue of Perfect Man, the next week on the seals, the next time on Daniel 70 weeks. But I've seen people come to the altar. But listen. When we read the Bible where it says, by grace are you saved through faith. It's the grace of God that calls us. Blessed are they, the prophet referring to it in the scripture, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. He said it's a blessing to hunger. for you to even have a hunger for God is a blessing. Because a lot of people don't have that hunger. But you see, we're justified by faith, Romans 5 and 1. What? By revelation. By believing. He said, well, you don't get much revelation. You get enough revelation to get born again. You get enough revelation of faith. I've explained that over to you, where the woman at the well, or the woman that touched Jesus' garment had faith for the time. You can have faith for the time. That's justification. That's revelation. But when you realize that God is dealing with you, how many of you remember those days? When you'd be in church or something and somebody preaching and God began to deal with you. And you become under conviction of what you were doing. See, that's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. Because what is justification? The prophet explained it. I gave it to you there in the future home. He said all that does is your repentance just chops off your past sins. He said it does nothing to your nature now. He's the one that said it. Of course, nobody don't believe him anyway because they can say that he changed this and he changed that. When he said there, he didn't change. So it doesn't do no good to try to convert the world. They're not going to listen anyway. I preach here. Who's out there that hears is up to them. I don't preach out there. That's why I won't answer no questions or nothing. I won't answer questions that come in off the internet. Why? Because I'm not going to get into that. I'm not the pastor of the internet world. I'm the pastor of his church. Anybody wants to listen, amen, listen. But I only talk to you about your own experience. Because that's the only way you can know what my experience is. Is by your experience. All right, what is justification? What takes place, Brother Dale? The goodness of God leads you to repentance. You heard about God. You read about him. Someone talked to you about him or something. And as you did, you begin to feel condemned about your life. You know. That's the goodness of God. But see, people think you've got to tell them all about their life. You don't have to tell nobody. You mean, I've got to stand up here and tell you what's right and wrong. Now, there's something wrong with that picture somewhere. Like I've told you, the prophet, you know, he said, don't tear down that pasture fence. Neighbor's cows get out. Hey, I had a whole lot more sense than that when I was a kid. Because I knew if I tore the fence down, the cows got out, I put the cows up, fixed the fence, and got a whooping later. Prophet didn't have to tell me that I wasn't supposed to tear down a man's fence. I don't go and just rip it down and jump across it and tear it up. If I do something like that, I put it back. Why? Because that's just natural doings. But see, the goodness of God calls somebody. Telling you, come. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. Come and taste of me. Come and receive of my life. That's all they done on the day of Pentecost. They saw them coming out of that upper room. Shouting glory, hallelujah, and running down through there. And Peter got up and preached them a sermon. Amen. This is that was spoken of. And they said, men, brethren, what can we do to be saved? See? Become pricked in their heart. But you know there's other times in the Bible when they become pricked in their heart. And they took up stones to stone. I believe it's the one used when it's for Stephen. I believe that's right. It says they were pricked in their heart about it. In other words, they were grieved the ones it was, and they killed him. But you see, a lot of those people were so super religious until they were praising God. Shouting glory, hallelujah. I'm doing what God told me to do. Killing the very one that could have helped them got in the kingdom. See, we can be so super religious until we turn down God's word. Amen. See, that's what people do. I know a man was riding down the highway. This was told me. Riding down the highway and his wife told it on him. Brother Brown said something about something. He just jerked the tape out and slung it in the back seat. So ain't no man going to tell me what to do. But he still claims this message. But you see what I'm talking about? We call it come under conviction. You know, that's the words we use or term. Being condemned and realizing. But what makes us condemned? Now, Mom and Daddy told you all your life is just bad and mean, didn't they? Did it ever convert any of you? You know what I mean. I don't mean they went around all day long telling you this, that, or the other. You know what I'm saying. I'm saying they told you that was bad. It was wrong. You shouldn't have done that. Did that save any of you? No. It's when you hear of the love of Jesus Christ. When you hear someone talking about the love of God, that'll lead you to correct repentance. Other than that, you just go up. The prophet says, baptize, you go down a sinner, come up a sinner, you just change the difference to being dry and wet. But see, justification, it just chops off your past sins. But it's done by faith. Yeah. By faith that Jesus Christ died for you. Now, it's not faith that believing Jesus Christ died for everybody. I believe, according to the Bible, that Jesus Christ died for the sins of all the world. I believe that. But what's wrong? See, the people don't believe that Jesus died for their sins. And then you look like I did at people sitting on a deacon board in a church, you know, and I'd see them doing things I wouldn't do. It got in my way. But see, God had to keep dealing with me. I had to get over the church and over the people to get to God. And I had to realize that God was talking to me. It didn't matter how many people in the church in the altar, that night I went up in the Baptist church. It didn't make no difference. I was the only one that was I was concerned with. And as far as I was concerned, now you get to take this wrong, now you'll take it wrong. I ain't mean it. As far as I know, I was the only one that night went to the altar it was called. I said, as far as I know, I know he called me. I know he began to deal with me. I didn't have to quit drinking, quit smoking. I never did drink. Never, and what I smoked as a sinner, I decided I didn't want to do it no more. I didn't have to have no this, that, or the other to get me out of what I do it. I just didn't do them things anyway. I've always told you I didn't have a bad temper. I didn't use vulgarity. Because I've seen too many people lose teeth on account of bad words. And I like my teeth. You know. You can say, well, that's silly. Well, it may be, but that's the way I thought. But you see, God began to deal with me then out of the Scriptures. And see, we Baptists, we gloried in the fact that we could get a gold star for reading the Bible so many times. That was still in there. No problem. It got people to read. But you see, I started reading the Bible. But I thought, now, if I'm going to be a Christian, I need to know what it says. He said, what kind of experience did you have, Brother Dale? I didn't see great shining lights. I didn't see all kinds. I just felt condemned in my heart about the way that I had been. And the life that I was living, I felt it was wrong. Married already. See? Maybe Wade might have been on the way by then. I don't really know. I can't remember. I guess we were already in the church by the time Wade came along or anything. But, you know, I mean, just thinking. And I just felt condemned. I felt that the Lord, I always wanted to be something. As a kid, I wanted to be an aircraft pilot in a jet, you know. I wanted to be in the military. I wanted to be in something. It just never fell my lot to be anything like that because I couldn't afford it. I couldn't afford to go to the Army. I couldn't have made a living. But, see, then a conviction came upon my heart. As I did, I began to pray. I've told you about it. Even as a sinner, I would go out and do things wrong and come home at night and feel dirty. I did. All the time he was calling me. Like I said, he made a contact with me. I didn't make no contact with him. When I was 11 years old, he made a contact with me. I always wanted to see that God. I never saw him standing there like a person or that chair sitting there. But I can put you an X on the place to what I saw. And I knew God was real. My buddy, he said, "You better go to the altar." I said, "Uh-uh." I knew God was real. I always wanted to find that God. And you know when I found that God? When Brother Branham, I began to hear him talk about him. That's when I found him. He began to talk about the one I saw there. Because the one I saw there could have done anything in the world. But you see, I went on in life and was a sinner. But then I got under conviction about the way I was doing. And I went to the altar and I prayed and asked God to forgive me. We didn't know anything about sanctification. I just began to read the Bible. And in reading the Bible, I began to see. Now this is Wade come along in the 60s. By the time he's 2 or 3 years old, we already started, screening out the things that we watched on TV. You know, we didn't see dirty things. Why? Because he was there. I didn't have to come in this message to learn that. I didn't want him to see them things. And God began to deal with me. That was my experience, was meeting God and the basis that he was dealing with me, and he began to deal with me in the Word. I've told you, the first time I read the Bible, I come to my wife and said, "There'll be two prophets come before the end of the world." Well, you don't hear people today explaining it like that. Why not? That's what the Bible said. When I come to Brother Moulton this message and heard of this message, I said, "Explain this." He said, "Brother Branham was Malachi 4. I said, "Who's Malachi 3? Thank God I run into the man that could take me right back into Scripture and show me in Luke. And show me in Isaiah. And show me the ministry of John the Baptist. But you see, God began to deal with me through the planning of the Word. What is justification? Repenting, chopping off your pies. Has nothing to do with your future. Right? No. But in sanctification, the prophet gave the definition, cleanse and set aside for service. He said, like for instance, your experience is like for instance, you look out in the yard and you see a glass. He said, you pick that glass up, you have a reason for the glass. You're wanting to use it. You have a reason. You pick up the glass, that's justification. That's your repentance and your believing. But it's faith in God that he died for you. That's what justification is. That he died for you, not for everybody else. Let them worry about themselves. You worry about yourself. All right. But then sanctification, what you do with the vessel? You take it in the house and you wash it. You boil it or do something to clean out all the impurities. What have you done? You set it aside for service. You haven't put it in service. You just set it aside. It wasn't worthy for service as the dirt and the filth that was in the yard that you were picked it up out of. That's what God done. He cleansed us by the washing of the water of the Word.
Amen.
Just like the disciples. Jesus called them, right? Didn't He call every one of them? But then what happened? They had to believe what He was saying to follow Him. I mean, you're going to lay down your living. You remember, Peter had a wife. You know. You mean you're going to do away with your living, Brother Gary, because somebody says, come along, follow me. You can't explain that, can you? You can't explain what happened to you, but you know something called you. You think Peter something didn't call him? I mean, he left his mama-in-law, because the Bible speaks of her. He left all of them. And it doesn't say how many kids they had. I don't know. Never heard Brother Brown say Peter had any kids. I don't know. Doesn't matter. It's just him and his wife. He still left his wife and his mother-in-law or whoever who's in the house, and he goes Cadillacing along behind Jesus, not making a dime. He left a job making a living for his family and began to follow a man. But it's because God called him. That's what I'm talking about, that call. That little tug on your heart. In St. John 17, the Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth, because thy word is truth. There Jesus spent 3.5 years planting that seed into their heart. Cleansing them and setting them aside. Brother Brown said, begotten like a baby in the womb of a mother. Then you can see why Jesus was saying, born of water and of the Spirit. Sanctification cleanses you and sets you aside. Take away all of them desires and things. Brother Brandon said it this way. I'll be glad to give you. He said, you get new desires at sanctification. You no longer desire the things of the world. You become to begin to desire the things of God. You love to go to church. You love to be around people that are Christians. Like Brother Moat said, he thought everybody in the neighborhood, because he's a little bit mean, he said he thought everybody in the neighborhood would be tickled to death the day he got saved. Well, he just went around the neighborhood telling everybody he got saved. He said, you know, they didn't want to hear about it. I mean, they didn't want to hear about him getting saved. But listen, prophet said sanctification is the most dangerous of all. Because you get new desires. And that's what most people call salvation. But Brother Dale, I no longer think like I used to. That's sanctification. Now go to the future home and read what the prophet said. He said, the unclean spirit goeth out of a man, walketh in dry places, seeketh rest, findeth none. He used that scripture. Read what I just gave you. He said, but I never had experiences, Brother Dale, like you're talking about. I'm not going to tell you you're lost. But I'm just telling you what the Bible says. It's up to you to realize whether you're lost or not. Well, I never went through this and never went through that. Well, all right. You talk to God about it. But I will tell you this way. If you argue over that point, don't worry about it. Very quickly, you'll argue over something else. It won't be long, you'll argue over something else. Instead, you'll argue over something, and it won't be long, you'll be out the door. Because that's what takes place. But see, most people come to sanctification. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The planting of the word. The prophet said, like planting a seed in the wound of a mother. That baby in that wound of that mother begins to grow and begins to multiply from that cell, and it begins to build a body. But it's still not a born-again experience. The prophet using the scripture where he talks about, I give you a new heart and a new spirit. He said, now that's not the Holy Spirit. He said, give you a new heart and a new spirit. He said, you couldn't stand your own self, your other spirit. See, that Spirit of God comes upon you under a conviction. And that's why most people are never go on. They don't come to conviction. They run up to the altar, some preacher tells us, you believe the prophet? Yeah, well, you saved. Made them a twofold child of hell. Why? Because you ain't going to get them back to the altar. Come on, I know doctrines and I know the way people think. We Baptists believed in the Trinity. And we would say, if I deny the Father, I'll be denying the Son. I'm not going to deny Him. I'm going to give Him part of my salvation. So I'm going to believe in three. Of course, no, you didn't think like that. I say you did. That's as blunt as I can be. Because all of us come to the same channel. We fought the battle of the mind. Sanctification deals with your life that you're living. But it's done by hearing of the Word of God. Let God's Word take out of you the things. Like Brother Branham said to them over there in Africa, to them women that was out there with not a stitch of clothes on whatsoever, maybe. Yet he preached the gospel to them, said he'd seen babies born by the platform right beside of him. They don't have any thoughts of like we do about that situation. But he said when they got the Spirit of God come down in conviction upon them and they accepted Jesus Christ, they got out and went and said they'd fold their arms and go out. And said when they came back, they had clothes on. Now who taught them all of the do's and the don'ts? It's the goodness of God that called you that way. Let the Word sanctify you. Let it cleanse you and set you aside. Let it be the thing that will bring you to an understanding of God. Do you know what I teach? The basis of this message is one true and living God. Whether you want to talk about justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, seals, marriage and divorce, plagues, trumpets, vials, it's all a revelation of Jesus Christ. Brother Dale, I just don't understand that. No, and you wouldn't understand what Brother Branham said. He said one seal will tie the entire Bible together. Now, if that seal's telling you about Jesus Christ, it'll tie the Bible together. But if it's telling you about all your polygamies and all the garbage can that's in this message, it'll take you off into error. But you see, the Word being sanctified. Hearing of the Word condemns you. Keep on hearing the Word, it'll cleanse you. It'll cleanse you. It'll set you aside for service. Brother Brennan said it like this. He said, now the way you can tell, he said, suppose a man at sanctification, he said, suppose he used to drink. He said, let somebody put the bottle under his nose. He said, you'll find out in a hurry where he's sanctified or not. He said, say he was immoral with women. He said, you let an immoral dressed woman go by. Hey, he wasn't talking about you couldn't be tempted. Because I've told you over and over about it. I've told my experience. I don't mind telling anything. I never cussed. I never had a problem with vulgarity. Sure, we used little words or something, but vulgarity of bad words, I didn't do it. I mean, you know, when somebody said those things to you and called you the things, you know, that throws off on your mother, I was ready. That's when I did get ready to have problems. But you see, I never had any problems with it. Never had any problems with drinking. After I got born again, you know, I'd be talking to somebody and just be talking to them about the Lord, and all at once there'd be a word and I'd just have to bite it off. You said, Brother Dale, well, I'm telling you. I'm not lying to you. Because I'm telling you, when we get into the stature of perfect man, how the devil can come in and work upon you, not inside of you, but on your other senses and things. Never did care nothing about drinking. I've told you what it looked like to me. But somebody pop a can and, you know, in your mouth. Said, my Lord, I didn't want it to start with. Don't you ever think that devil ain't going to work on you. Don't you think he ain't gonna quit? Don't you think he's gonna quit working on you? Don't you think you're ever gonna get so goody-goody that you'll be able to walk off this earth without the devil bothering you? He's gonna be hanging on to you the day you go up in the air, trying to pull you back down. Now, that may be a carnal way of expressing it, but it's the best way I can think. But let me hurry up. What is the baptism? What is sanctification? Justification is by faith, believing that Christ died for you. The goodness of God leads you to that. Sanctification, let the Word set you aside. Let it cleanse you and wash you by the water of the Word. And then like we're talking about the Scripture there. I give you a new heart, a new spirit. What is it, Ezekiel? 36. It's 35, 36. Who is it? All right. I'll think of it in a minute. But anyhow, he said, then I give you a new heart, a new spirit. He said, I put my spirit in you. The prophet said, that's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know how I've explained to you that you take that word and you hold that word. You hold that word. You cherish it. That's what it says about the disciples. They took it and held it. They heard it. They had a partial understanding as much as they could about it, and they held on to it. And when they did, then when the Holy Ghost fell in the upper room, where did it fall? On the Word they held. What is the new birth? The birth of the Word. What's it been in every age? The birth of the Word. What was it in Luther's age? The just shall live by faith. The birth of the Word. What was it in Wesley? Sanctification. Setting aside for service. The birth of the Word. The new birth has always been the birth of the Word. That's when the Holy Ghost comes down and quickens what you've held in your soul and converts that nature of that soul to a new person. Paul called him a new creature in Christ Jesus. A new creature, a new creation. Setting you aside for service is one thing, but bringing that life of God, because that's what I believe the new birth is. The new birth is a person of Jesus Christ coming and living in you by faith that you believe it until He comes in contact with you. And what does that do to your soul? Changes that soul. Not changes the soul as exchange. Changes the nature of that soul that was of the world. Changes it to put it of God. Still, there's a lot of compartments needs opened up. That's the statue of a perfect man, right? Door in doors. Listen to those messages. But it's the quickened Word. It's the Word that's made alive. The Word made alive in your heart is a definite experience. I told you of mine when I was in the altar and I recognized a person. God is a person. He's a reality. That's why I don't believe in their Trinitarian concepts. He's a person. He's the Word that you took and you held on to. So if nothing else, keep holding on to what you got. Keep seeking God all your life, right, Brother Gary? Don't never stop seeking God. There's something wrong with you if you do. I seek God more today than I ever have in my life. As far as God, come to me. Deliver me from this man that I am. Paul said, this old wretched man that I am. God, come and take over. Live through me. That's our problem. We try to live ourselves. But let Him live through you. Go back to the message on the intervale. They changed the title to it. It was 1956, Intervale. Where the prophet was saying there, let God come and live in you. Let Him speak to the neighbor in you. He wants to testify to this and through you. He wants to use you. Why? Because how are children born into the kingdom? The same way children are born into a family. Somebody's got to plant the Word. What is the new birth? It's the birth of the Word that you heard. And what is the birth of the Word? Jesus Christ. The person, Brother Brown said, God in the form of the baptism of the Holy Ghost come back on the day of Pentecost. Like I was saying, that brother was talking about how they all talk about the God can't die, they can't do this, they can't do that. He said, how could that man give his soul a ransom, the Bible says? Can you explain why, or what happened in him giving his soul a ransom? Now come on, his body was for the cleansing, the sacrifice. Right.
But the Bible said he gave his soul a ransom. He said, but God can't give his soul. Why can't he? He took my place. It was the soul of God that went to hell for me. That's how he redeemed me. Then he could come back and live in me. Because he went to hell for me. He paid the ransom. That soul, that being, that theophany, the prophet said, went down to hell. Don't you think the devil wouldn't stand in there? It's like he said, I thought I had you when I got John. I thought I got you in this. He said, now I got you. Oh boy, he thought he was something. Listen to the mighty conqueror, I believe it is, in the countdown, where the prophet said, he just jerked the keys of death and hell off of him and kicked him over in the pit and said, come walking back up. Because this ransom that was made, it's like I've told you. Someone steals one of your children and you got $1 million, you give a ransom. Unless the law can some way trap them and find, you don't get the money back, do you? Even if you get your child back, you don't get the money back, do you? You know, unless the law can some way find out. But see, in this one, the one that went down to pay my way, the one that went down from my place, he was Almighty God. And when the devil looked up there, he said, uh-oh, I've got a problem. Because I'm not dealing with a prophet. I'm not dealing with an apostles or anything. I'm not dealing with spirits. I'm dealing with a man that's in charge of all. He didn't stay down there for me. See, the ransom of the natural would have stayed. He didn't stay down there for me. He conquered and he walked out. That's how he gave his soul a ransom. To where he could divide up and become into each one of us. Because that was the life of Almighty God that come back upon the believer. That's what the new birth is. The birth of the Word that you've heard. Brings the life of Almighty God into you as a being living within you. He said, Brother Dale, don't you have problems? That's what the stature of a perfect man is about. People say, now I got born again. I didn't have no more troubles. I got born again. Mine started. That's what your prophet said. Now you argue with him. Everybody else said, I got born again, didn't have no troubles. The prophet of God said, you're wrong, you think that. In other words, he said, he points every gun he's got at you the day you get born again. Now that's what he said about it. Yeah, but I got certain quotes. Well, quote all you want to. But you see, when they all come together, you'll find the prophet was right. He said he turns every gun on you. And every step you make, he's right there in front of you. I like what the man said that time. Devil was saying, hey, I'm the devil. I'm over here, right beside you. The man started praising God. Hallelujah! He said, you don't understand. I'm telling you, I'm the devil. I'm right here. He said, I didn't know you was that far away from me. You say, Brother Dale? You talk like the devil's in you. No, the devil ain't in my soul. The devil still bothers my body and my spirit because they're still mortal. But my soul is immortal by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is the new birth. And there's a person living in me, and I can't deny the Word. You want to quote from the prophet where he said, how can a seed deny the seed? How can a seed of God deny the seed of God? How can you deny the Word of God? Yeah, but I like the way Brother So-and-so preaches this way. Well, that's wonderful. Go visit with Brother So-and-so. That's fine. But children are born by the Word. Because you see, I didn't get to where was the second part of it, I'll take it Sunday, where it says, explain the three stages of justification, the three of sanctification, the three of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, we got to do that in the Bible. But tonight we were taking the Bible solely to come into the new birth. Well, see, you don't have to get a new Bible to do anything else. You just keep reading the same Bible. And read the same scriptures. And let it just apply a little higher. And a little higher. A little higher. Wouldn't that the way Brother Branham done? Come on, Brother Ward. Let's stand. I thought this would be a very, very short message tonight. I just wrote down just a sketch of pages back there a few minutes ago because I truly just wanted to listen to what he wanted me to talk about. And all this week I've just meditated in my heart of what I wanted to say, but, you know, just didn't write it down and all. But you see, if God don't call you, you can't come to Him. But oh God, how great it is that He called us. What a wonderful thing to think that God called me. He must have thought something about us. He called us. Wonderful opportunity to serve a living God. Not a dead quote. Go ahead, brother. What do we got?
128
Jesus. Anybody have a need? The altar's open.
Loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me.
He does. He loves you. If He hadn't loved you, He wouldn't have called you.
The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. He who died.
That's what He done it for.
It's all open wide. He will walk. Away my sin, let this little town come in. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Yes, Father, our brother has a need. He's come and wants some prayer cloths. We believe You that, Father, these prayer cloths were set aside for the purpose of being a contact one with the other about the situation we're asking about. So we ask You, Father, to just make manifest now what our brother's asking You in Your love and Your grace and Your guidance. And we thank You. And we commit it all now into Your hands in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Just come and believe. Believe and see.
Yes, Jesus loves me.
Our brother's got a problem with his back. Many of us have had back problems, haven't we? I said our brother had. I believe it's gone, don't you? All right. Father, we ask You to remove all pain and all the problems. Because the only thing we ask You to do, Father, is to back up Your word. You said to preach the word and You would honor the word and back it up. We've done the best we can do for what we could think about, Lord, of what You are and what we're trying to explain of how to become a child of God. We know that in that period of time you had the beatings upon the body. And they beat Your back, Father. And our brother's back is giving him problems. But we condemn that pain right now in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We love You and we thank You. We commit it to You. Brother, just take this prayer cloth. I can stand here and tell you about a time when Sister Gail's daughter had a real bad headache. Well, that's the same way we're doing here. To believe, put that in your billfold. But she had a real bad headache. I just felt led to do it, and I done it. I turned around to her, and I gave her a quarter. I said, I'm going to buy that headache away from you. Do you understand? She said, yes. Now, there's no way a human can buy anything. I was just making a contact. We started down the highway. They called back to see how she was doing. She said, don't have no headache. Sam bought it. Well, see, God took it away. So I believe it, brother. Put that in your billfold and believe it. Give You a good many, all right? Father, In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we send these prayer cloths with our sister. And you just make manifest what they're asked about. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Just come and let's believe and see. See, we believe in prayer cloths, don't we? We believe in taking them and applying them. When they tore down part of the building up there where Terrence used to own, they were kind of looking around, and every once in a while they'd find this little patch of cloth. And they wondered what it was about. Well, you know what it was about? He got prayer cloths and he put it up over in the building. You know what? God bless. Well, now if he'd take care of building, how much more he'd take care of children? Father, we send these prayer cloths now in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Anybody else? Just believe and see. See what God has to say. See, we live below our privileges because we don't believe. We condemn ourselves. We condemn ourselves instead of God condemn, we condemn ourselves. The way to do it is to say, God, forgive me. I'm sorry. And then believe that he's forgiven you. Our brother's got some breaking out all over him. And thanks. Let's just believe. All right. Father, we give our brother these prayer cloths because they're just a contact with him. But we believe that by your stripes our brother's healed. And we thank you. We believe it because you paid the price. And then you came back to live in us to give us understanding. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just believe and see. Jesus loves me. Amen. Just take them and put them all over the place. That's what we do. Amen. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we ask you that you would just, Lord, come now and be to our sister what she's asking about. There's a lot of friction in the office. We condemn that under the blood of Jesus Christ, and we believe you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else? Just believe and see. Loves me, for the Bible tells me. A little piece there, I hate to throw it away because we've dedicated them to the Lord, and, you know, we believe. Not in gimmicks or anything else. We believe in the truth. You know, we believe that a lot of these are even still some of the ones that Brother Branham prayed over. Maybe the real ones. We don't know. I've tried to get a hold of Brother Perry to get some more, and they just sent me two or three. They didn't give the... I wanted a big old roll of it, you know. But still, we believe the same God is here to pray and believe. But most of these are the ones that, you know... Anybody have a need? God, you have been true. Just believe and see. Father, our sister's injured her foot. We condemn the pain, the problems and things, and say that when she gets to the doctor, all is well. We love you and we thank you. We believe you in Jesus' name. Amen. Just go and believe. Do you believe? See you in the rapture. I see you in the rapture. I'll see you at that meeting in the air. That with our blessed Savior, we'll live and reign forever. I'll see you in the rapture. Sing that to one another as you're leaving. Remember, anybody wants to go with us Saturday, please let us know. I'll see you.
one. Father, just bless everybody on the way home. Give a safe journey, Lord, in your love.